Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From KMOX Sports.
DeJong swings and lifts a high fly ball.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
This is Sports Open Line.
It's a grand slam!
Touchdown! Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice.
Yes!
KMOX.
A good Monday to you. Welcome into the program. My name's Matt Paul. We have just a one-hour program for you today. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit for you. When the day got started, I thought we were doing a two-hour show. I did not realize we had Monday Night Football tonight, so we booked the show as a two-hour show. What does that mean for you? It means we are packing a lot of stuff into this first and only hour of the program, as we are going to have three guests who are going to be with us. Turner Ward, it's been talked about throughout much of the day here on KMOX, a conversation that I actually conducted a couple days ago, but we'll play it for you today. The Duke Cardinals hitting coach, he says a lot of really interesting things, and I think you're going to be interested to hear it. So Turner Ward, the man who's taking over as the Cardinals hitting coach after most recently serving as an assistant coach, but also a guy who has been a major league hitting coach for a number of different teams, he's going to join us in about 5 minutes or so not too far out from being joined by Turner Ward. Then later on, we are going to continue on with our parade of coaches as we continue to talk with area college basketball coaches. Today, we are going to focus in on Southern Illinois Edwardsville. Their head coach, Brian Baroni, is going to join us at about 6:35. And then we'll talk some St. Louis University men's soccer with their head coach, Kevin Kalish. SLU men's soccer winning the A-10 in a really exciting way yesterday. And then today, the NCAA selection show, and they are going to be hosting coming up on Thursday as they match up against Memphis. It is SLU Memphis week, seemingly, as the SLU women's soccer team, their season came to an end when they lost to Memphis. Now SLU men's soccer is going to match up against Memphis, and SLU men's basketball, they are set to play Memphis as well. So a lot of SLU Memphis action. So that's the show. Before we do go any further, certainly want to mention the Blues very quickly. Obviously, we'd talk more about them if we had the two-hour show. Good to see them kind of get things going. They've won two in a row. They're coming off maybe their best win of the year. They won at Vegas on Saturday, 3-2. So after ending that eight-game losing streak, they've won two in a row, and they're going to play Colorado tonight before going to Chicago on Wednesday. They're back home on Thursday against Washington. But certainly some good signs right now that the Blues are going to be okay. We'll talk more about the Blues as the week goes along. But our jam-packed one-hour edition of Sports Open Line, it will continue with Cardinals hitting coach Turner Ward. He'll be with us in our next segment. That's coming up next. It's Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Towards the end of the season, well, after the season came to an end, we learned that Cardinals, former Cardinals hitting coach, Jeff Albert was going to be moving on from the organization. So they were looking for a new hitting coach. One name that made a whole lot of sense was assistant coach Turner Ward, who just had a great reputation for the way he was able to connect with a number of players. Also, he had been the lead hitting coach for three different major league organizations. He was already in-house, and he got the job. I got the chance to talk with Ward just a couple days ago. I want to play our conversation. I think he says a lot of interesting things here. I think you'll enjoy this. The first thing I asked Ward about was just kind of his thought process when he found out that Albert was leaving the organization and that that job was open.
Well, I mean, of course, I came into the organization with the interest of, helping out and being the assistant. And, you know, it was, I think, news to me. Wasn't something that I knew in advance of when Jeff decided to step down. So it's kind of a shock there. But I've been in situations before where it was either time for you to move on or, you know, you whether you wanted to, needed to, or you had to, or was made to. So that's it. So, you know, everyone has that kind of particular reasons why, and Jeff has his.
So when immediately do you let Mozeliak and Marmol kind of know that you absolutely would be interested in moving into that position?
Well, of course they, contacted me and, asked for my interest in it. And I told them, I said, whatever that they feel was best for the Cardinals and the team, I was willing. I signed on as the assistant, but, I was, willing to do whatever it takes to what they feel like can help us get to the next level.
This is nothing new for you. You've been the lead hitting coach for a few different organizations. From your perspective, what's going to change for you going from being the assistant hitting coach to your new role?
Well, I mean, I think it's the voice is a little louder or a little stronger. You know, when you're the assistant, you want to support and kind of move through the organization or the team the way, like it's in this case here is Jeff was trying to lead. And, you know, I think everybody that takes into a leadership role has their own niche about what they do things or how they would do things, and doesn't make it right or wrong, but it makes it intentional what you believe to be true to move the needle forward. So, you know, in that sense, for me, that's, I have a few ideas that I'd like to do myself.
I'm fascinated by hitting coaches right now in baseball because so much of what's going on in organizations is an organizational hitting philosophy, yet coaches still have, like you just referenced, you have the kind of things that you want to push forward. How do you go about putting yourself as an individual and your beliefs as an individual into also coinciding with what the organization wants to do from a hitting standpoint?
Well, no doubt that I would think every organization from a mechanical to technology to data, you have to have a sense of all of it. And you know, I think I've kind of watched the transition, you know, of course, when I was a player to how we use data, to how mechanics was talked about, to even now how, you know, we use data and how mechanics are talked about in a sense of so I think there has to be a balance. I've seen where teams have gone, heavy to one way or the other, whatever that might be. But, man, you have to have a balance. I mean, this isn't like pitching, you know, where you're trying to work on the spin or the location. I mean, hitters are trying to hit. I mean, a variety of pitches, of speeds and velos and locations. And so there has to be a really good balance of how you move, your human movement, which is your mechanics, but also the balance of the approach and how a hitter is going to attack and based on his strengths, because all hitters, we all have some weaknesses. So it's working on those weaknesses and trying to not be so concerned about what that pitcher is going to do to you, but more concerned about what you want to do when he makes a mistake. So to me, there's that mindset, mechanical balance that you have to be able to coach, teach, and understand.
Every hitter has their own swing, which is individual. And then I believe what you guys are trying to do is, from a mechanical standpoint, there are some base type things that you want to include. Is it fun for you taking every single individual swing that you see, and everybody's got their own, and then being able to try to help each hitter kind of become their better self?
Yeah, no doubt, because it is, even though there are some foundational truths to the swing, everybody's body doesn't move the same. And so, and not only that, they speak different languages. I mean, so, and what I mean by that a Paul Goldsmith might not want to talk about his hands, where Nolan is very comfortable talking that, where a guy like T.O. doesn't want to talk a whole lot mechanics, but more to the approach. So I think when guys learn to balance out a look, you know, that from a hitting perspective, as a hitting coach, which I don't like that term, I like the term more of a watchman. Mm-hmm. I want to watch these guys do really well and then be able to communicate it when things aren't going well, how we have a plan to shrink times of down. And I would say that most hitting coaches would be, you know, fall in line with that. But I have seen a trend where it's all, let me just try to create something. Oh, let me create power. Let me create, you know, something, a launch angle, a certain type. Man, hitting, you have to not only be able to hit a fly ball, but you need to be able to hit a ground ball. So there is multiple adjustability that a hitter needs to have to be able to survive at the big league level if they want to be a complete player, say like a Nolan or a Goldie, you know, or there's a lot of players in the league that's, you know, more well-rounded. And we know, we can identify when guys are kind of they got one thing, you know, it's just a pull side power. They are power, and that's what they work on, train on, and that's what they do. But when you have that style, you do, there's a risk reward for that.
Cardinals hitting coach Turner Ward continuing to join us here on Sports Open Line. You mentioned approach. How important is it to have that consistent approach, knowing pitchers' tendencies, knowing what you're going to swing at, what you're not going to swing at? So even before even getting into the swing, the approach and how you go about it at the plate, how important is that to the overall success of a hitter?
I mean, it's very important. I say that hitting is 100% mental and 100% physical. So as a hitting coach, understanding where is he hindered at this point? Where is he lacking at this point? Is there something going on with his approach, or is there something mechanically going on that won't allow him to say a hitter's approach is in the right center field gap, but all he can do is pull the ball right now? There might be a little mechanical thing going on to that point. So my job is to understand what benefits this player the most from an approach standpoint based on how he moves and his mechanics. So that is a marriage between the two. And just like in marriages, it gets difficult sometimes. So whatever side that is causing the issue. Now, and look, you know, sometimes, and, you know, hitters don't want to hear this, sometimes that guy was just nasty that day, and he was making great pitches, and we weren't able to hit him. So that, again, has to be a part of the equation. Not to give the guy any too much credit, but these pitchers are good. So number one, am I a good place mentally? Number two, is my mechanics, am I moving well? Number three, was I'm just missing my pitches because he was nasty? Or is it just, you know, because something else is going on? So that's kind of where I have to evaluate and look and see where, you know, the player needs to whether improve in the mechanics part or his approach.
So I always chuckle because I host post-game shows and I talk to baseball fans all the time. And this is not just a St. Louis thing. I've been in other markets. This happens everywhere. If a team is struggling offensively, the first thing fans say is fire the hitting coach. And then I find out they don't really know what the hitting coach does. Like, there's this just this thought of the hitting coach is just the guy that's sitting in the cage giving advice, or, you know, it goes a lot more beyond that. And we've touched on the data and we've touched on the approach and things like that. Do you think it's important for baseball fans to get a little bit of a better understanding of what the modern hitting coach does?
I wouldn't even say just even the modern. I'd just say hitting coach in general. Because, look, I've been a player that played 16 years. So I had hitting coaches, Rod Carew, Billy Buckner, Gene Kleins, Gene Tennis, Buck Showalter. I mean, so many of these guys poured into my life. But, you know, when I struggled, it was not one time. And, man, at 16 years, you struggle. It was a struggle being a big league hitter, minor league hitter, whatever that is. I never said, you know what, I didn't have success this year because of this hitting coach. But now I'm going to flip that around on the other side, is because as me now as a hitting coach, I take full responsibility, and I don't want the credit, but it is my job to help these guys. So it's kind of a part of the business not to get that credit and to take the blame. And I'm fully aware of that, and I actually embrace that because I actually want to be able to help these guys and help them get into the next level. But it has to be at their learning growth, too. Sometimes the guys get to the big league level, you know what, and they hit a wall with, you know, their ability. I've seen that. Sometimes I see where guys just have to make some mechanical adjustments and it works out. Sometimes I've seen where this guy's been the approach and been able to do different things and it really works out. So, you know, there is it's a heavy load on the player to make adjustments, but it's also a part of the hitting coach's job to help him navigate through what those adjustments might be.
Brandon Allen, who has been the AAA hitting coach, will be your assistant. Matt Holliday is going to be involved offensively as well. How excited are you to be able to kind of go to battle and work with those guys?
I mean, so excited. I mean, you know, even going through the interview process, and, you know, we, you know, interviewed in within and outside, and knowing how BA has related to the guys in this organizations, and me being able to kind of work alongside with BA in spring training and see how he works and what he's about and how he goes about it. There was a freshness to that. And then also the experience that Matt brings in. You know, Skip was a good voice last year as well, and I expect Matt to be the same way.
Last thing for you, I know when you got done playing, you did some building. I think you built your home, if I saw correctly. I know you've also spent some time as a youth pastor. How have the non-baseball things that you have done help you in your baseball job?
Oh, so many different ways. I mean, of course, even from my kids. I mean, I have a 30-year-old son with a granddaughter. My daughter just graduated from college, and I have a high school senior son. You know, I think just kind of as a parent, you know, of course, and a husband, you know, teaching and training kids up in a way, leading a large youth group to help me study and understand not only the spiritual but emotional and side of it. And then, of course, I think I just love construction, but it's just because it's building something. And I think that's kind of part of the swing. There's the foundation of a house are pretty similar. If it's a rock foundation, a concrete foundation, I look at that from a hitting standpoint. Man, you have to have a really good foundation, but man, different houses look different ways, but they all kind of serving a purpose. And so that's when I look at a hitter swing, not that I'm trying to build it, but maybe I'm trying to kind of help him renovate that to beautify it, to simplify it. And I think that's kind of where that fix-it mentality is a part of kind of who I am and what I do. But again, from a philosophy standpoint, I have two eyes, two ears, one mouth. I really want to listen and watch more than I speak so that I can kind of learn more from what they do, how they do it, and then how we kind of come alongside each other and kind of walk through that process.
Turner, this was really fun. I really enjoyed getting to know you a little bit. Thank you so much for taking this time.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for having me, and I'm sure we can do it again sometime.
There's Cardinals hitting coach Turner Ward here on Sports Open Line. So before I realized that we only had 1 hour tonight because of Monday Night Football, my plan was to spend the segment after that interview hearing from you and getting your thoughts on him. So while it's fresh in your mind, I'd love for you to do this. For those of you who have thoughts on what you just heard from Turner Ward, text me or tweet me, and we'll try to revisit this maybe tomorrow for sure at some point later on in the week. You can text in at 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. What I want to hear from you, you just heard basically 15 minutes with new Cardinals hitting coach Turner Ward. What is your reaction to what you just heard? And I'd love to hear that. Whatever it might happen to be, whatever your reaction is, feel free to tweet or text. Text in 314-436-7900. Tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, and we will revisit that coming up later on in the week. But up next, we continue on with our parade of coaches. We're talking with men's basketball coaches from throughout the region. We're going to talk some SIUE men's basketball with their head coach, Brian Baroni. He joins us in just a moment. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Swing it along with the left. That's a grand slam.
You bet.
This is Sports Open Line.
Billikens win.
On America's Sports Voice.
What's down? Kansas City.
KMOX.
We continue our one-hour program tonight. We are leading you into Monday Night Football. Again, thanks going out to Cardinals hitting coach Turner Ward for joining us. We'll get into more of what he had to say during the week and kind of break down some of the things he said. But right now, we are going to continue our parade of coaches. We're very happy to be able to go to the Quiver River guest line, the SIUE men's basketball team. They are currently 1-1. They've got a big game tomorrow in Columbia as they match up against Mizzou, and we're happy to welcome in Cougars head coach Brian Baroni onto the show. Coach, thank you so much for your time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
You bet. Let's start with the news of the day. Your team picks up a nice honor. Sophomore transfer DeMarco Minor being named as the OVC Newcomer of the Week in the win against Harris Stowe. He had a double-double, then had 21 points in the tight loss against Purdue Fort Wayne. Talk a little bit about what you've gotten from him here in the first couple games of the season.
I like it. You're on your stuff. That was hot off the press. That's big time right there. No, I, you know, we're excited about our guys, and DeMarco goes by Polo, so Polo Minor is, you know, had a heck of a week. He had 10 assists, no turnovers against Harris Stowe, and really kept us afloat at Fort Wayne when we weren't doing what we needed to do offensively the first half. I think he had 15 points in the first half, and then, you know, we were able to come back, take the lead, and then they came back and ended up getting us at the end. But it's nice to see that, you know, the newcomers and the old guys gelling, because his newcomer of the week is, you know, a result of, you know, his teammates put him in position and him put his team to statistically have some good, pretty good numbers.
I'm looking at your roster, and the thing that really strikes me is you bring in kids from all kinds of different areas. You've got some D1 transfers, you got JUCO transfers, you got some prep school kids, you got high school kids. Is hitting every single possible location a big part of your guys' recruiting strategy?
It's so much. It is, and it's a lot about just relationships. You know, there's so many little nuances and unique relationships almost probably behind every guy that's on our roster. And not just with me, I have a tremendous staff that, you know, you build relationships through, you know, whether someone's from Wisconsin and you have a staff member from Wisconsin, or someone that, you know, has a connection to the NBA and they had connection to the NBA, that's like an uncle or something like that. So, you know, we really try to tap into the relationship. We're a big relationship program. You know, we believe put family into basketball. Don't let basketball take family away from you. And that's kind of our mantra, and that's, you know, that's where you're able to get relationships to come, you know, be part of the team from all around.
still really early on in the season, but you have kind of a lopsided win at home against Harris Stowe. You go and you have a really tight loss on the road against Purdue Fort Wayne, losing that game 81-76. I know it's really hard to make any sort of big statements after a couple regular season games, but how do you feel about where your team is at right now?
I really like our team a lot. And I say that's not coach talk. That's sincere. These guys mean a lot to me, and they have high character. I like where we are heading. You know, we have to tighten up some things. We didn't have a great start and a great finish at Fort Wayne, but you're down 12 on the road against the repeating reigning Horizon League champions with 76% of their scoring back. You come back and take a lead. That says a lot about the character of your guys and the ability. And, you know, we're still trying to find ourselves with Rayshon Taylor just coming back about 3 weeks ago. You know, I'm taking that 10 out of 10 times. But you're also learning how to put a very important part of your team in place that you haven't had for the last 9 months, but our immediate team with the newcomers for the last 4 months.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Rayshon Taylor. He tore his ACL January 29th of last year, and here he is already playing. There's a lot of guys who take a little bit longer than that coming back from an ACL. What has it been like for you watching him go through the rehab process and maybe watching him learn to kind of retrust that knee?
You know, it's been really encouraging just as a person. I mean, he for 2 years, he has essentially been rehabbing because he had torn his ACL his previous year as well. And he comes out after the first one and put himself in position to average about 17, 18 points a game. Unfortunately, January 29th, it tears it again. And his work ethic and mental fortitude and his support system with his family is unbelievable. To put him in position to play last week a full college basketball game, it just really speaks a lot of the work ethic and the heart, the determination. Because, like, I'm almost the one holding him back. And I told him that the other day. I'm going to stop coaching him as if he is coming off it because he's put us in position to play him, and he wants to play. His heart's there. His mind is there. And the numbers all say his strength is there. So it's really, really impressive what that young man has done for two straight years.
He was on the preseason All-OVC team. Your other guy that's on that team is Dijon Pruitt, and so far a nice start to him statistically. He's going out there. He's your second leading scorer right now at 13 points per game. Is it just the feeling of kind of getting from him what you were expecting from him going into the year?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a guy that can stretch the floor a little bit. He can handle it. He's got great size and athleticism, and it's just continuing to find the impact that he can have on a daily basis. I have very high expectations for Pruitt, and he's had some. He had 20-10 the first game. He can impact the game in so many ways, and he's all preseason all OVC for a reason. I think he impacted the league last year, averaging around 10-7. So there's a definite level of excitement and expectations. I have high expectations for a lot of guys on our team.
SIUE men's basketball coach Brian Baroni continuing to join us. Last week, you guys announced two future members of the team, Jordan Pickett, who is a high school kid from Belleville East, and then a JUCO transfer, and Ethan Yancey, who's coming in from Northwest Kansas Tech College. It's interesting right now in college basketball because it feels like coaches need to sort of pick and choose who they're taking in this early signing period because there's so many D1 transfers available later on. But obviously you go out, you sign these two kids. How excited are you about them?
Yeah, I think that, it's a great observation because you really are sitting there trying to figure out, what you can get caught into this what if game, right? What's going to happen. There's the different transfers, the portal, all that kind of stuff. I think one of the biggest things that we've really tried to do as a staff is, get the person that you feel fits into your program. And if it makes sense right now, then go be aggressive and recruit. And if you're not comfortable, then, you keep working. And it's probably a little bit more of an old school mentality, because that's kind of how I've always done it. But I think since we are such a relationship-based program, it's been a focal point of what are our needs, who's kind of leaving that on paper, through seniors, and
And, you know, you want to fill those spots moving forward, because I'm a big believer in a in this group of guys. And we've had pretty good retention over these years. So I think that that's been something I've kind of stuck to.
You're in Columbia tomorrow night for a matchup against Missouri. In no way, shape, or form am I asking you to disrespect your opponent, but I do think it's interesting that at least in Missouri's first two games before the Lindenwood contest, Southern Indiana hung tough with them. Penn also hung tough with them. Are there things on film out of those two games where you're able to look at and maybe you're hoping to find some success based off things you saw there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you, what you want to do is exploit any team's weakness and exploit your successes. And, you know, I think this early in the season, you're still, you can get caught up in really trying to scheme against your other opponents. And, you know, there's three, maybe four games with an exhibition game that someone has put out there. Dennis Gates is a very good coach, and, you know, he's obviously new at Missouri, so there's not a lot of necessarily footage from what he's done thus far there. But, of course, you want to look out there and see what we can do. But more importantly right now, it's about what we – against their weaknesses. But it's more important, like, we have to stay true to who we are, because we've been working on that for, you know, 4 or 5 months. We have to make the adjustments throughout the game and hopefully exploit a weakness or two and not let them exploit any of ours.
Your schedule's interesting because the first three games kind of goes tougher, 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 and then you step back and you're going to play some neutral site games against other mid-major opponents. I like the way you've put together your schedule. It looks like you did this on purpose. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, I would like one more day in between our MTE, like our neutral site games, than we had, and for a variety of reasons it didn't work out that way. But if there's a team that's built for multiple games in a short amount of time, it's us these last few years with our COVID schedule's been beyond crazy. But you definitely, what you're trying to do is you want to simulate things that you're coming across in the future. You know, you have that expectation to go to the tournament in the OVC, and you're going to hopefully play multiple games back to back to back on a neutral site. So you want to be able to reference your successes and things that you could have done a little bit better, even though it's hopefully going to be in March. You want to be able to kind of, you know, have that type of reference point. And we definitely, there's with scheduling, with COVID, you're still affected by the schedule from years past. We were supposed to play Detroit this year. Dates didn't work for the last 2 years as a home game. So unfortunately for us, we're on the road these next 3 weeks. Kind of because some makeup games had to be made with the scheduling and other teams' conference schedule as well.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. Hopefully we can catch up every once in a while during the course of the season.
I'd love it. I appreciate it. I'm a big believer in this team, and I'm excited to be around them all year. So let's see where this thing goes.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
SIUE men's basketball coach Brian Baroni joining us here on Sports Open Line on the Quiver River guest line. We appreciate him taking some time. All right, we are coming down the home stretch of today's show, but we got to talk some St. Louis University men's soccer. They are A-10 champions. They are headed to the NCAA tournament, and their head coach, Kevin Kalish, he joins us next. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
News Radio KMOX, the home of the Cardinals.
Starting to wrap up this jam-packed edition of Sports Open Line, just a one-hour show tonight as we get to Monday Night Football at about 7 o'clock. Do want to mention the St. Louis University men's soccer team, to be sure, as they are headed to the NCAA tournament. They had a really exciting finish yesterday as they get the win against Loyola Chicago in PKs. It finished as a 0-0 in regulation, went to overtime, and then they go to kicks, and they end up winning the PK shootout 3-2, and they are headed to the NCAA tournament, where they are going to match up against Memphis in a game that's going to be here in St. Louis coming up on Thursday night. With that, we welcome in the head coach of the St. Louis University men's soccer team. That is head coach Kevin Kalish. Coach, thank you so much for your time. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Doing great.
So we'll get to Memphis and the NCAA tournament in just a moment, but I want to go back to yesterday. You win in a PK shootout, 3-2, scoreless through regulation and overtime. Just the emotion of that. Like, what's it like for you sitting there watching that, coaching that, going through it?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the good thing is we have done a lot of, you know, prep work heading into the tournament. So, and having Carlos in goal, you actually had a little bit of, had a lot of confidence, I should say, in terms of just that we were going to come out on top, then he was going to make some saves, and we were going to finish our pen. So, yeah, definitely exhilarating, a little bit anxious, but, you know, also very confident in my guys and definitely Carlos.
All three matchups in the A-10 tournament were really, really tight games. Does that help you out in that situation?
Yeah, I think so. We kind of plan for that. If you think about it, even last year, out of all the, you know, in the conference tournament, even our last year's semifinal went into penalty kicks. So it's, you know, it's just not a lot of difference between, you know, a lot of teams, a lot of well-coached teams. And soccer's, you know, it's usually pretty tight this time of year. So you have to make plays, and it's difficult to do. And you know, from our perspective, we kind of always say, yeah, if you're going to win a championship, you're probably going to have to win one of them throughout a penalty shootout.
So I've watched the winning save by Carlos Toferan over and over and over again on social media, and it's awesome. On that save, he kind of moves just a little bit to his right before coming back to his left. Was he trying to deke the kick, you know, trying to, you know, draw the kick to his left side by going a little bit right? Was that like part of the plan there, or did it just work out that way?
Yeah, I think it just worked out that way. That's you know, he's on, you know, we give him some information ahead of time, but at the end of the day, it's on him to read the kicker and kind of go with his gut. And he has the green light to do that, and especially a goalkeeper of his stature, we tell him to trust his gut, go with what you're feeling. And he was in his zone. He was in full control of that situation, and it was kind of special to watch him, you know, not only make the save, but just kind of really kind of just he was one step ahead of everybody. It seemed like.
How cool is that moment, not just for you, but for everybody when that save is made? Everybody goes onto the field. I mean, that's a really cool moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you're in sport, right? I think, you know, just to know that how much effort the whole team and all the guys put into it, and to see their faces and just have that moment where they're you know, be able to raise a trophy and win a championship, that's, you know, that's why you make all the sacrifices.
Did you have any thoughts that you might be matched up against Memphis?
I knew we were going to kind of be, you know, hoping to get a, you know, 1-16 seed, although we were close. Felt we would get a home game, and then usually as they kind of shaked out, we'd probably face maybe someone in region that was going to fall maybe later in the RPI in that 35-40 range. So I had maybe an inkling, but you never know with this kind of stuff.
It's interesting right now, and I know it's all coincidence, but women's soccer played Memphis. Men's basketball is about to play Memphis. It's like it's SLU Memphis week right now.
It is. Yeah, they do a great job with their programs. They're always competitive, and I know that this will be a really tough test on Thursday as well.
How much have you been able to take a look at them? I know it was just earlier today that you found out that they would be your first-round matchup.
Yeah. We've been able to do a little bit of a dive into some video. But, yeah, they're a very good team. Like, you know, every team at this stage in college soccer is going to be a good opponent. You know, you match up with different teams in different ways. But, yeah, you know, we're excited to compete on Thursday and see what happens.
I know you never look past an opponent. I'm not going there. But if you do win, you then go to Bloomington to face off against Indiana. Like, do you look at the bracket and see where you could end up and who you might be playing and who could be on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, it would, you know, human nature would say, hey, okay, what's our pathway to, you know, get to a College Cup and who we're going to go through and stuff. But, yeah, like you mentioned before, you know, this group's been great about just taking one game at a time and just focusing on the next opponent and really just, you know, and the challenge that's right in front of them. So we're going to continue to do that. Memphis is definitely going to be a challenge on Thursday, and then we're going to get ready for it starting tomorrow morning.
So do you sit back at all when St. Louis Billikens soccer, I mean, this 50th appearance in the men's soccer championship, that's a record, and you're leading this team right now, and you've obviously got history. I guess, is it a cool thing for you to know the history of this program and now be right in the middle of, you know, making more history, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Look, anytime, you know, you know, wearing a jersey myself, you know, it has that extra sense of pride, right? So I think, you know, from my our perspective, you know, like I tell the guys oftentimes, I've sat in your chair. So it's definitely special. It's a legendary program. All the unbelievable teams that have gone through SLU soccer, and to be the 50th, yeah, it's definitely a pretty cool moment.
The soccer community in this city has always been amazing, and you know that. But right now, it just seems like SLU women's soccer, I know, is a disappointing run for them in the tournament. They lose to Memphis, but that doesn't take anything away from what they accomplished this season. City SC is getting ready to roll. They've got this big exhibition coming up on Wednesday. Do you feel, being part of the soccer community, just the excitement that's going on right now?
100%. Yeah. I think, look, what Katie and Chris and the women's program was able to accomplish this year was amazing. I really felt like, again, and you know how soccer goes, you got to catch some breaks, but they built a team that, in my opinion, was definitely one of the top 8 teams in the country, and they should be proud of what they accomplished. And yeah, I think right now with City on the horizon and kind of what we're doing here at SLU, it's a great time to be a soccer player in St. Louis and a soccer fan for that matter. You can feel the energy. It's infectious. And yeah, I think great things ahead.
You host Memphis on Thursday, Herman Stadium, 7 o'clock. Tickets are already available, $10 for adults, $5 for youth. Folks can maybe bundle up a little bit and get out there, and I'm sure you're looking forward to having a big crowd.
Yeah, it is. Nothing better than playing at home at Herman in front of the hometown crowd, so we're looking forward to it.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations, and we'll hopefully be able to catch up with you again later on.
Okay, thanks so much. Take care.
That is SLU men's soccer coach Kevin Kalish. We appreciate his time. We appreciate everybody's time. What a show. Cardinals hitting coach Turner Ward, SIUE men's basketball coach Brian Baroni, and SLU men's soccer coach Kevin Kalish all joining us on the Quiver River guest line. And now that is going to wrap up this edition of Sports Open Line. Monday Night Football tonight, Eagles at home against Washington. And we've got the broadcast next right here on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.